So let's begin with a word of prayer, and we'll get started into our teaching this morning. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for this season. We celebrate the birth of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, it's an amazing thing to consider that you would conspire to come to this earth and live among us and to die for us so that we might know you. And we just want to praise you for that. Be with us today as we go through this passage. And Father, I pray that you would speak to each and every heart today. And that in your miraculous way that you would draw us into your presence and you would change us. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Where angels fear to tread. We are entering into a section in this letter where Paul is going to lay out for us the walk of humility. As we've noted before in the last half of the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about our walk as believers in the world today. And in these last three chapters, he lays out four steps for us. There is first of all, a step of unity, that we are unified in Christ, and we are to work to maintain that. We're to work at that, because it doesn't come naturally. Second step was a step of purity, that we are to walk differently than the way the world walks. There is a world system out there that draws us in one direction, but the Spirit of God moves us counter to that. In the section that we're looking at now, the step of humility, it deals with our everyday relations, husbands, wives, in the family, children, at work, with employers, with the government. How do we deal with the world around us? And that's what Paul is going to deal with in this section. The fourth step that we'll get into in a few weeks, the step of victory, putting on the full armor of God, because there is a warfare going on. We are in the midst of a spiritual battlefield, and we need to be prepared for that. The step of humility. Paul starts with the marriage relationship, and we're going to look and talk to the wives this morning. Guys, yours is coming next week, and so I expect you to be here next week. It's not fair for you to show up and just get ammunition against your wife. So, verse 22 starts off, wives, be subject, or submit. And it's interesting that of all the verses in Scripture, this is the one that husbands will remember. John 3:16, yeah, for God so loved the whole, how does the rest of that go? And guys, but this one, wives submit, man, we got this one down. Guys want to turn this into the gospel message. Forgiveness of sin, yeah, that's good, all that's, but man, wives, you need to submit, And guys, if that's your approach, man, you're missing it completely. You've completely missed the message. Now, we're going to have some fun today. So just, try not to take all of this too personally. Try not to take yourself too personally. That's a good piece of advice just in life in general. But God's message, this is God's message to the wife in regard to the marital relationship. And so, guys, if your tendency is to try to grab this and use this as a tool against her, as a weapon against her, you're missing the point again. We can't just kind of cherry pick from Scripture and develop a doctrine that seems good, that feels right. We need the whole counsel of God. And we need to understand that as we go into this section, it is all prefaced by verses 17 through 21, where Paul says that the power pack for this, the thing that drives all of this, is being filled with his Spirit. being filled with the Spirit of God. That is a requirement for wives to be able to submit. It is a requirement for husbands to be able to love the way Christ loved. All of that is overshadowing the teaching that Paul is going to give in this next section. Living the successful Christian life. The will of God is for us to be filled with the Spirit of God. It affects everything that we do. It affects, Paul says, our speech, that we are to speak to each other in hymns and songs and spiritual songs. That takes the filling of God's Spirit in me to be able to talk that way, to have that kind of conversation with my wife, with those of you. Paul says that we are to worship Him, to make melody in our hearts. He says that we're to be thankful always and in all things. And that's not always easy to do. And then finally he says that we're to submit one to another in verse 21. Being filled with God's Spirit is the requirement for all of this. And so we're to see each other as really as a master. Every person in here I am to see as my master, as somebody that I am to serve. You know, when you come to church on Sunday, is your mind, who can I serve today? Who is going to be there that's going to need a prayer? Who is going to be there that needs a word of encouragement from God's Scripture? Who can I serve in the church when I get there? When you see a woman coming in the door with what seems like 45 kids with her, and sometimes it only takes two, you know, we've got some families like that. You know, is your first thought, well, how can I help this woman? Can I you know, hold your youngest one so you can get the other two to a class? Or can I help you out in some way? Or do we just sit back and go, whew, glad that's not me? You know, do we come to church with an attitude, with a heart to serve each other? And that attitude really needs to go outside of the boundaries of these four walls. It needs to go out there. And I have to tell you, I'm really pleased with so many of you, because it does in this fellowship. It's happening here. We have a number of you who are picking up on this and seeing needs in the body and reaching out and filling those needs and helping and coming alongside. And you know, Peggy and I were just talking about it the other day, and it's such a blessing for us to see that in you guys. It's just awesome. So being filled with the Spirit, that is the power pack for us. That's the thing that we need to be able to do the things that Paul is going to talk about in this next section. You know, wives submitting, husbands loving, kids obeying. Boy, to me, that's the tougher thing. You know, I mean, if you think about it, the wife is to submit to her husband, and that's a struggle because he's a knucklehead. You know, and to be able to have to submit to that guy, that's tough. But it's not as tough as the kids have it, because they've got two knuckleheads that they've got to submit to and be obedient to. So you know, they've really got a tougher road to hoe. Verse 22: Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. This verse really has caused a great deal of consternation and problems in our modern society today. Sure has during the course of my life. And there are many today who will criticize Paul, they criticize the church, criticize the Bible. You know, what kind of stuff is this? Wives submitting? Got to be kidding. All of that criticism, in my humble opinion, is born out of ignorance and rebellion. I'll just tell you flat out. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this passage in this 21st century? Well, first, we need to understand that this is not a 20th century or a 21st century problem. Submission was a problem 2,000 years ago. I mean, Paul wouldn't have put it in this letter if it wasn't a problem back then. the difficulty that wives have submitting to their husbands is nothing new. It's not a part of the women's liberation or women's rights movement or any of that stuff. It began in Genesis chapter 3. You see, in the first two chapters of Genesis, the first two chapters of this book we call the Bible, they describe how God laid out a perfect environment for all of us. This world was perfect when it was set up. And then from chapter 3 to the end of Revelation, we see God's plan on how to fix the problem that we've created. We made a mess of things. When sin entered the world, everything broke. And we see the results in the world around us. You know, from the farthest galaxies, and we're just now in with the technology that we have and the telescopes that we have, we're able to see, you know, galaxies that we never even knew existed before. And there are massive collisions taking place, and the universe, the cosmos, is out of control. And we see it from the farthest reaches to our own backyards with cats and dogs fighting. You know, the creation is broken. That's what sin did. It broke everything around us. And so, too, the marriage relationship is fractured. It's broken. It's really out of order. Because God established an order in the first two chapters that is out of order now. Chapter 3 of Genesis, God says to Adam, okay, you've blown it now. Now you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. No more going around and just picking fruit off the trees that was growing, and, you know, apples this size, I'm sure they were just, you know, big, huge, wonderful things. All they had to do was just go pick fruit and eat. There was no work, there was no toiling. I'm convinced in my mind that there was a ribeye steak tree in the Garden of Eden, you know, just already cooked right. That's just me, but, you know, it's not in Scripture that way. But he said, you got to get a job, to Adam. And then to Eve, he says this interesting thing. He says, first of all, I'm going to greatly increase the pain of childbirth for you, which is an interesting thing to think about, because, you know, apparently God's original plan was no pain, no sorrow in childbirth. I mean, you guys could just, you know, spit these things out like watermelon seeds with no worries, no sweat. But because of sin, you know, now there's sorrow and there's pain involved in this. But then God says this to Eve. He says, your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Now, I got to tell you, when I was a new Christian and a single guy, I read this passage and I thought, well, hey, man, this is a great program, God. This is really cool. I mean, you know, women are going to have this great desire to, you know, to love their husbands and to be in submission to them. And, you know, that's the heart. That's their heart, to love their husband that way. Good deal, man. I like this. This is great. But then I got married, you know, and it wasn't quite working out that way, you know. That's really not what this is saying in Genesis when it says that the wife's desire will be for her husband. You see, what we see in the next chapter, in chapter 4, it says that, and this is where in that passage, God is talking to Cain, and he says to Cain, he says, Cain, be careful. You know, why is your face downcast? You need to be careful. You need to be careful because sin is crouching at the door, and its, same word in chapter 3, its desire is for you. Sin's desire for you and me is to rule over us. Its desire is to dominate us. Its desire is to destroy us. What this tells me is that what we see described in chapter 3 is the reality of marriage today. And that is that the wife's desire for the husband is not to submit and love, but to rule over him. And if we're honest at all, That's what we experience in our marriage relationship. You know, the husband, I'm going to rule over you. Oh, no, you're not. I'm going to rule over you. You have to submit to me. Hey, but you have to love me. And there is this battle of the wills. And that's what we see, I believe, described in chapter 3. That's the result of sin, that there is this tension within the marriage. Hubby wants to rule. Wife wants to dominate. Any of this ringing a bell? Any of this sounding familiar? I mean, if we're honest with each other, when we are operating in the flesh, this is what marriage is all about. Two people trying to rule over each other. It takes the Spirit of the living God living in you, living in me, to do anything different than this. This is real life. This is real marriage. This is the reason that couples struggle in their marriages today. The reason that we struggle is because marriage is so completely different than dating. You know? I mean, marriage is real life. You know, it's two people and we let our guard down once we step across that threshold. Dating is a dance with deception. Truly. You know what I'm talking about. Ladies, your husband, you know, when he came to pick you up when you were dating, he shows up in a car that's vacuumed out. A car that's been waxed. He shows up having taken a shower. He put deodorant under both arms. He says things like, "Honey, wherever you want to go, price is no option. It's okay." Whatever you want, it's okay. The last time you'll ever hear that, ladies. That's, you know, from now, you know, after you go through the marriage thing, it's, "I'm going to swing by Taco Bell and pick up some stuff," and, you know, that's. But then marriage comes along. Yeah, and the next thing you know, he's just lounging around in boxers, and, you know, that's kind of life. You find out that shower that he took was a weekly event in his life, you know. Marriage is broken. The marriage relationship is not what it is supposed to be. And so in these verses, Paul is describing God's plan for marriage. There's some interesting things for us to see here. And ladies, it starts with you. God, of course, being the ultimate gentleman, says ladies first. So it begins with you guys. But it's interesting to me that it is in the harsh realities of marriage that God says to the women, "I want you to submit to this guy. I want you to submit to this husband, this man that you're married to." Make note, it does not say, "I want you to change him." Yeah, a lot of ladies come into the marriage relationship. "Well, you know, he's a good guy and he's close and I'll make him better. Yeah, once I get him, you know, on the other side of that marriage thing, then I'm going to get to work and me and God, we're going to make this guy into something." It's not your role. It's not your job. It is the Holy Spirit who is the agent of change in you and in him. And it is only God's Spirit who can make that change, who can make things different. What we see in this passage is that the wife is called to do basically two things. First of all, submit. And then at the end of the passage, it says that you are to respect your husband. God, through his Spirit, is wanting to do a refining work in that man that you're married to. And in God's miraculous plan, those are the two pinchers, if you will, that God uses to hold that man in place so that he can do his work. Submission and respect. He needs that from you. And as you give that to him, it holds him in place so that God can do the work. There's something about the weight of responsibility that guys need. We just need that. I hate to admit this, but guys are crazy. We're insane. We do the dumbest things. We were just talking about this yesterday at the men's breakfast. You know, you will never see a young girl get on a bicycle, go down the road, and then try to stand up on the seat as the bike is going down the road. You'll see guys do that, you know, because we got to prove something. I don't know what it is we're trying to prove by doing that, but you know, we do dumb things. We do crazy things. We go you know, marching off into the world to construct great bridges and build cities and nations. And then we come up with reasons to blow it all up so we can rebuild it back again. Guys need the pressure of the responsibility of the family to keep them in check. Because we're crazy. And ladies, another thing that you need to understand, we need that. We need that responsibility. We need that the responsibility of the family on us. But the other thing about submission is that it is absolutely impossible for you. It's impossible for you to submit to that guy without the power of God's Spirit working through you. Without a supernatural force, and you're, I'm sure, sitting there thinking, you're right there. I cannot submit to this guy unless I have his Spirit in me, God's Spirit in me. And so this becomes a daily routine of you asking, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today so that I can submit to this guy, so that I can respect him. You guys, we need to understand this too. We need to understand not just that our wife's nature is to dominate. Our wife's nature is to try to rule over us. A lot of the husbands are going, Dave, that's no revelation. I know that. I witnessed that. It's okay for you to laugh. She's not going to get mad. But the understanding, the other part of that we need to understand, the thing that we need to know, is just how impossible it is for her to submit to you and to me, to us as men. That's a huge task. Unbelievable thing that she has been called to do is to submit to you, submit to me. I mean, would you want to submit to you? Look at yourself. Look at your life. Would you want to submit to you? I wouldn't want to submit to somebody like me. Somebody who's selfish, can't remember to put the toilet seat down. You know, it's just, you wouldn't want to submit to somebody like that. It's an impossible thing that the wife has been called to. And no wife has ever done it perfectly. But this is the goal, ladies. This is what you need to be shooting for. Because we can't escape this passage. It is here. It is a requirement for you. Now, to be clear, this command, is to the wife in the marriage relationship. It is not to women in general for men in general. There's nothing in Scripture to support that says, you know, that all women are to submit to all men. This is very specific. It is very unique to the marriage relationship. It doesn't say anywhere that a girl is supposed to submit to her boyfriend, or a girl is supposed to submit to her fiance. You know, if there are guys who are trying to pull that kind of nonsense, send them to me. We'll straighten them out. That's not what the Scripture is teaching. It also doesn't mean, or it's not an excuse for the wife to follow the husband into acts of immorality, acts that are illegal. You know, if a husband is trying to get a wife to watch pornography, that's just outside the bounds of what Paul is talking about here. It's not an excuse for abuse either. This kind of submission doesn't mean that the wife is supposed to submit to being a punching bag. none of that falls within the context of what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about, you know, a Christian marriage where the husband is truly trying to live out his life. He's working a job and he's trying to lead his family. He's trying to do what's right. Paul says to the ladies, submit to that husband. Because the issue is order in the home. And we're going to get to this in a couple of weeks, but the bottom line in all of this is that the marriage relationship is a reflection of heaven to the world around us. It's an incredible thing to think about. And Paul talks about that later in this passage, and we'll get to that, as I said, in a couple of weeks. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being Savior of the body. Now, Paul, again, he's talking about structure here. You know, husbands are not and do not, they cannot provide salvation. So it's not in that light that Paul talks here. The husband isn't perfect. You know, Christ is sinless, but the husband is not. And so the analogy is not in that regard, but it is in regard to the structure, to the order that is set up in God's kingdom. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes again about the husband and wife relationship, and he says there, now I want you to realize that the head of every, and this is husband, is Christ. The head of the woman, the wife, is the husband, and the head of Christ is God. There is an order to things. You know, nowhere in Scripture do we see or get any inclination that Christ submitted to God in any sense of inferiority. He accepted that role because that was the order that God had established. Paul is simply saying that there is an order here, and as we follow that order, we reflect something in the heavenly realm to the world around us. And as the world sees that, it will be drawn to something that it doesn't understand. It will be drawn to know Christ. And so if the wife is trying to be the head over the husband, then the person that she's fighting with is Christ. Christ is the head of the husband. Her problem is with Christ. Her problem is not with her husband. Says, as to the Lord, wives, you're to submit. As to the Lord, that means that even if you don't fully understand it, you may not understand exactly, you know, why is he doing that? What's up with this? You may not understand it completely, but you submit to him as unto the Lord. You know, there are times when you need to share your opinion, and you should as a wife. I think any husband who does not seek the opinion of his wife in just the everyday decisions that come up is a fool. I'll just tell you flat out. God matched you up with that woman for a reason. She has wisdom and she has insight into things that you don't see and many times can't even imagine. You need to seek her. You need to seek out her opinion. But ladies, once the decision is made, you need to follow that. You need to follow what he says. I know it's hard. I understand that it's difficult. I really think this is one of the reasons Paul says in 1 Corinthians to people who are thinking about getting married, he says, don't. Because it's hard. Marriage is difficult. There are challenges. Ladies, this also doesn't mean that you can sit back and say, well, okay, I don't agree with this, but I'll submit. But buddy, if this goes badly, you're going to hear about it for the rest of your life. That's not the kind of submission that we're talking about here. You know, there's another kind of odd thing that has made its way through the church in regard to this and to this issue of the wife being under the husband being the head of the wife. And that is that somehow if the husband makes a mistake, if he goofs up somehow, that the wife, that she's in peril. You know, that the husband is the covering, and if the husband messes up, boy, the wife, she's in big trouble. There's nothing in Scripture that indicates that. Because you see, ultimately, Christ is the covering over both. And if the wife is dependent on the perfection of the husband, ooh, that is trouble. But that's not what Scripture says. Because it doesn't matter the husband's, how far he gets off, how badly he may mess up. Because ultimately, Christ is the covering over both. And ladies, if you will operate in obedience to what you are called to do, which is to be submissive to your husband, to respect him, to come alongside him, if you will do those things, your covering is Christ, even if he's out in left field someplace. Verse 24, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. The church submits to Christ without pouting, without complaining, without developing headaches. You know, the church is in submission to Christ. Imagine, you know, God showing up here during our worship time and wanting to come into intimacy, which is what happens in worship. It's a wonderful thing, a marvelous deal. Christ coming in, wanting to engage with us, to come into intimacy with us, and the church saying, I got a headache. I don't really feel like it right. Yeah. You see, Paul starts with marriage because it is because of the imagery that we have in this relationship. God's will is that we, in our marriages, be this amazing, perfect, 3D motion picture of what's happening in heaven. What's happening in the spiritual realm as Christ is connected with his church. Paul's going to talk about that later in this passage. It's an amazing thing to think through, to consider. Submission, it's not an issue of value. It's not an issue of intelligence or importance. It's just a matter of structure. It's a matter of order in God's kingdom, ultimately. If you get tickets to go see a play, Romeo and Juliet, everybody's got a script. Everybody's supposed to read from that script. But how crazy would it be if half the people were reading from Romeo and Juliet and the other half of the actors were reading from Alice in Wonderland? You know, it would be insane. It would make no sense. You'd have, you know, Juliet talking to the Mad Hatter and their conversations wouldn't match up, and it would be goofy. It'd be dumb. God is saying we all have roles to play in the marriage relationship. And it only makes sense when we play our role, when we speak the lines that are set out for us. Ladies, if he's going to lead in the home, you need to give him a chance. Understanding that he is a sinner saved by grace, just like you, that he's going to make mistakes, just like you. But you still need to be submitted to him. You need to give him a chance to grow. You need to give him a chance to move into those leadership roles. A marriage can't have two heads. It'd be like some B-grade horror movie with the monster and the two heads. You know, it makes for good movies, but not for a good marriage. Submission, it's the attitude. It's an attitude of the heart. And it happens even when you don't agree. In fact, that's when it needs to be in place. You know, you're not going to struggle with submission when your husband comes home and says, "Honey, let's go get you a new diamond ring and a fur coat." okay, you know, Lord says I have to be in submission, so okay, I'll do that. You know, that's not when we struggle with it. We struggle with submission when it's when you got two people going in different directions. Be submitted to him. If we're to boil all this down to just one quick phrase, it would be this. It would be, wives, you need to live for your husbands. And husbands, you need to die for your wives. This whole section is boiled down in that one phrase. Because we're all sinners saved by grace. There are too many marriages that are going through struggles. And I'm talking about Christian marriages. And it's because, going back to what we began with, because we are not being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're trying to work out marriages in relation to the way the world says the marriage is supposed to work. We're trying to fit into roles that the world identifies. Homer Simpson, American Dad, you know, all of those, the culture is doing everything that it can to destroy the image of the male in the home. That's not the role that we see laid out for us in Scripture. We need to fight back against that. And the only way that's going to happen, guys, is if we are filled with God's Spirit. That we can speak to each other in hymns and songs, and spiritual songs. That we can truly thank God for all the things that come, the good and the bad. That we can have hearts that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that we will all be submitted to each other. So I hope that ladies, that you'll consider that. Think through this. See what the Lord will say to you about how it is you are to live in your life. Lord, why don't you come on up and close with a word, close with a song. Father, we just thank you for loving us. Thank you that you have this wonderful design for marriage. Father, help us to see. And help us to walk in obedience to the roles that you've called us to, so that we can be that kind of reflection to the world around us. That people would see the love of Christ, not just in our lives, but in the life of our marriage. Father, give us strength. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.